Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Jonah. Jonah's in the Old Testament. Oh, if you got a Scofield Bible, it's 943. If you don't have a Scofield Bible, I don't know what page it's on. Scofield, Old Scofield, King James. Amen. But you will find Amos and then Obadiah, and then you'll find Jonah. Amen. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Start reading at verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And Jonah rose up to flee into Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down unto it, to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hath done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you for your wonderful grace. Thank you, Father, for the word of God. Thank you for the promises of your word. This preacher needs you today. Lord, I need your power. I need your wisdom. And Lord, you know all that I need, and I ask you for it. I ask you to help me. And now, Lord, as we preach the word today, we trust it'll go forth in power, and that you'll be able to use it, Father, to help us, Lord, to be more like you. Should there be anyone here that's not saved, that's not born again, I trust, O Father, that you would do that work today, that they would allow you, Lord, to convict their hearts of sin and realize their need of Jesus. So we just put it in your hands and ask you your will to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching a message this morning which I've entitled, The Storm is Coming. The Storm is Coming. This is a story, and there's so many, you know, I preached through the book of Jonah. It's been quite a long time ago, but I preached through the book of Jonah. There's so much in the book of Jonah. There's just so many truths and so many wonderful messages could be preached from it. But I just kind of want to settle in today upon the storm is coming. And what I want to do is, I want us to understand that we know that Jonah here was a backslidden preacher. He was a man, in fact, he even admitted he knew that this storm had come because of him. And he admitted that. We know that, you know, they asked him what his occupation was. Isn't that something? He said, what's your occupation? Well, I'm a preacher. What you doing? Well, I'm running from God. I'm running from God. I'm getting away from God. And I'm going to go out of the presence of God. And so because of that, God sent a storm after him, see. And it's sad. But I want you to know something. You know, the message this morning is it's not for preachers. It's for all of us. You know, all people can get away from God and want to try to run from the presence of God. And I just want to say to you this morning, a storm's coming. Storm's coming. You know, God sends storms after his disobedient children. Oh, does he do that to try to hurt? No, he loves them. And he sends a storm trying to wake them up, trying to get them to do right, you see. That's what God does, you see. About a week ago, I think it was, there was tornadoes, you know, hit up in northern Indiana and across northern Illinois and killed some folk. I think it was about 4 people killed, a lot of people injured, and a lot of damage done. Jamestown, Indiana, up there, I think they said over $1 million worth of damage was done up there. That's where my mom and dad's buried at, right there in Jamestown. That's where they lived in that area in their earlier years. And there was a lot of damage done up around Jamestown. You know, God sends the storms. God allows the storms. And there's a lot of damage can be done in our life if God has to send a storm after us. It isn't that's not his perfect will. He doesn't want to do that. As you know, he had already told Jonah what to do, you see. And he rejected that. He ran away from the word of God that God had given him. He told him to go and preach. And he run, got on a boat and headed for Tarshish. He ran away from it. You see what God had told him to do. And he thought he could walk away from the presence of God. You see, but God met him there in a storm on a ship. You understand what I'm saying? You see, God sends storms. You see, we're in America today. We don't know anything about that. We don't think that. We think we've got it so made that everything's all right, you know. And we think we can get by with disobeying God, going against God's will for our life. We just think we can do that, and there's nothing going to happen. But I want to tell you something. There's a storm coming. No, there's a storm coming. Oh, absolutely, storm coming, folks. God does not do that. If you're God's child, now, if you're not God's child, you won't probably have to be worried, you know, too much about that. You got to be worried about other things. But God's not going to chastise you because you're not his child. You got to be worried about your eternal destiny. But I'm just saying to you, if you're God's child, and you run away from God, and you go against the word of God, there's a storm coming. And God knows how to send a storm, and God will do that. So I just want you to look at a few things this morning. He does, and I believe he does send the storms of warning to us. I believe before that storm come, there was some clouds that gathered. And I think that's true in a Christian life. I think there's clouds that gather, and we can look. If we just open our eyes and just have a little bit of discernment, we'd understand that the clouds are gathering and the storm is on its way. You know, the Bible tells us that we're not to be deceived. God is not walked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, the Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Now, I just want to tell you something. That's a warning, whether you understand it or not. That's a storm warning. That's cloud raising. He said, now, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. See, that's a warning. See, if you just got to remember something. What you sow, you're going to reap. So the storm's coming. And God is warning us about that. Amen? He's trying to warn us, trying to tell us. He said, now you be careful what you sow. Because listen, you're going to reap what you sow. And that's good. On some places, that's good. See, you got to remember also the good that you sow, you're going to reap. You know, we always look at it a lot of times in the wrong things. But listen, sow the good. Reap the good. Amen? But if you're out there sowing outside of God's will, backslid away from God, there's a danger there. Serious business. Serious business because there's a storm coming. Amen. Jonah didn't realize what kind of storm was going to come, but it certainly was coming, you see. And I believe something. I believe that no Christian can ever say they was not warned when the storm comes. I believe God warns us. I believe God warns us ahead of times. And you know, God doesn't always take a club and beat us over the head. God doesn't always, you know, shake us to the place where we just, you know, he don't always do that. He would if he had to, but he don't always do that. A lot of times it's that still small voice that says, son or daughter, get right with God. Do right. Do what you're supposed to do. Wake up. Do right, you see. And God over and over does that. And, well, we're living in a time in America where there's not much attention paid to God anymore about his warnings. But he's still warning. He's still warning, still sends the clouds of warning, you see, for those who are disobedient to God, you see. He's wanting to wake us up to what we ought to do, what we ought to be, you know, see. He's a loving God. He doesn't want to send that storm that'll swallow you up. He doesn't want to do that. No, no, no. He wants us to wake up, wants to listen to him, you see. But I want to say something to you. Every act of disobedience, you see, there's clouds that's going to start rising. See, when we disobey God, we've got a responsibility to get right with God. I'm glad God's so loving and kind to me that when I disobey God, when I don't do right, I can run to him. I can run under the shadow of his wing, and I can cry out to him and say, oh, God, forgive me. I'm sorry for this, and he forgives. Sister Allie, it's good to see you. I should have said something earlier, but it's so good to see you. I'm so glad you're home. Glad you're here. But the storm rises. The storm rises. And I just want you to know that it's on its way. You see, we think we're getting by with things. We're getting by with things. No, the storm's rising, you see. And old Jonah thought he was all right. He thought he was all right. He went down the ship, sides of the ship, went to sleep. Oh, everything's okay. I'm all right. You know, he was at rest, you see. But the storm was rising, you see, all that time. So I'm just simply telling you that the storm is rising. It's there, and there's always a warning about that, you see. You may miss the prediction of this storm that's coming. You may miss that. You know, there's been times that I didn't hear on the radio that there was a tornado warning out, or I didn't see it anywhere. I didn't know that there was a tornado warning. I didn't know that. You may do the same thing. You may not where you could hear anything, and these tornado warnings or storm warnings out. We may have missed the prediction, but we won't miss the storm. See, you may not pay no attention to the prediction. You may not pay a bit of attention to this preacher this morning. I'm just doing what God tells me today. See, that's all I'm up here to do. Just do what God tells me to do. And I'm just doing the predicting of what God's already predicted. He said, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to turn away from God. There's a storm coming. You see, now I'm supposed to warn that. But you may not hear the warning. You may not pay attention to the warning. But I'll guarantee you, you won't miss the storm. Because the storm will come. Amen. It'll come. So we want to be sure. We need to understand, you see, that we can't get by with disobedience to God's word. You see, and to his dictates of what he tells us to do. We can't get by with that. You understand that? That's for everybody. That's not just for a preacher. That's for everybody. All of us. See, we know what the Bible says, you see. So what does God do? Well, he chastises us. Yes, he does. And if you've never been chastised, then you're not saved. Amen. That's just simple preaching. You're not been chastised, you're just not saved. Because the Word of God tells us that all of God's children, he chastises. He spanks us and does whatever he needs to do to us. You know, that's the way he does it. That's good, you see. But a lot of people don't pay attention to the chastisement of God. Oh, they don't pay no attention to it whatsoever. God keeps chastising them, keeps chastising them, talking to them and warning them, and they just don't pay no attention to it. They just let it go and go and go. But the storm's coming. See, that bad storm's coming, you see. There's no doubt about that. So what we need to do is to remember something. If we'll just listen to the warnings, we can avoid so much suffering. If we'll just listen to the warnings that God gives to us about the storm that's coming, we can miss much of the suffering that's going to come our way. And I believe something. I believe we can even miss sometimes, you know, God's going to have to take us home. Well, I believe that. I believe there comes a time when God says he won't listen. She won't listen. I'm just going to take them home. Oh, I believe it. I could tell you stories about that. I'm telling you. You see, God don't put up with this kind of foolishness. After a time, yes, he's gracious. Yes, he's kind. He's good. But when you just turn a deaf ear to him, you don't pay no attention to him. I want to tell you, you're going in for some suffering, and you could be in for a life-ending deal. If you're God's child. You understand? God's not going to put up with that forever. Amen? So I just want to just warn you this morning, you see, that the storm is on its way. If you're away from God, you're backsliding away from God, you better get right with God. Get right with God. Get with Him. Call out to Him. Ask Him for forgiveness. And get right with God. And do right, you see. Why? Because if you don't, storm's coming. See, Jonah didn't do that. Jonah just stayed down there in the ship. Just went on toward Tarsus. Walked away from God. And he knew well. He knew well what was going on. Most backsliders know exactly what's going on in their life. They know they're backsliding away from God, and they won't do anything about it. No matter, God sends warning after warning after warning after warning after warning after warning, and they won't do anything about it. They just go ahead and walk in the same direction, no matter what. You see, that's what Jonah did. And I don't know about you, but I have no desire to be swallowed up by a whale. I can't even imagine that. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, to me, but to be swallowed by a whale, I can't even imagine that thing. But you see, that was the storm that God sent. God sent the storm, and they cast him overboard, you see. You know, it's amazing. See, them people, even these heathen people, realized, they believed what Jonah said. You know, it's my fault. And just think about it. You see, he was causing others to be harmed. Causing others. And that's what happens to a backslider. They don't understand the harm that they're causing for other people. They're causing it for their own family. They're causing it for their church member family. They're causing it for their community. They're causing it those all around them, wherever they are. They're causing harm. You see, why? They won't do right for God. You see, and that's the way Jonah was. He was doing all this, and he knew it was his fault. He knew that. What's your occupation? Yeah, I'm a preacher. What country are you from? Well, I'm from God's country. Yeah, I'm from the church down the road here. That's where I'm at from. Oh, what you doing now? What you doing all this for? Why are you running for? Well, you know, it's my problem. Amen. That's what everybody says. It's my problem. It's my problem. See, my problem. Nobody else. Oh, no. It's everybody else's problem. It's everybody else's problem. Lady, go sit down. Go sit down. It's my problem. Somebody ought to have got her and helped me on that. See, somebody ought to have got her. But anyway, that's what people say. It's my problem. No, Jonah. It's everybody's problem around you. You're causing problem for everybody. Amen? Amen. You're causing problem for not just you, your family, and the members of this church, and the members of God's family, no matter where they are. You're causing problem. Understand? No, don't stay backslid. Storm's going to come. You see, and I'll guarantee you, he sends all kinds of storms. I hate to even mention one or two, because you get the idea that's the only kind of storms there are. But it isn't. He's got all kinds of storms out there that he can send into our life to straighten our life up. It could be a physical storm. It could be a financial storm. It could be a mental storm. No peace. No joy. Just walking around in turmoil all the time, you see. You see, God sends financial problems. You say, well, I'm all right financially, so I must be all right. Well, that doesn't mean he doesn't have other kind of storms. You see, and it doesn't say anything about what's going to happen here in the future. You may be doing all right now. You may have all that you need right now, but he can take that away in a moment. You see, poverty, let me say to you, poverty can come. I'm going to turn over here to the book of Proverbs and the 28th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Verse number 13. Listen to what he says. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You see, people say, well, I'm doing all right financially. I'm doing all right. Well, just wait around. You want to stay in your sins, I'll guarantee you God has a way to take care of your prosperity. God says if you're going to stay in your sins, you'll not prosper. You see, and there's a lot of folk out there today who's got all kinds of problems, financial problems, because they're in their sins, and they won't repent of their sins, and they won't come to God, they won't do right, they won't confess their sins and get right with God. See, I'm trying to tell you something. God has a way of sending storms. He can take care of all that excess you think you have. God can make that disappear in a moment. See, you'll not prosper. See, God has all kinds of storms that he can send into our life. You see, if we're not doing right. You know, we preached this morning in our Sunday school class about the fervent Christian life. We talked about, I'm not going to re-preach it, don't worry. I'm not going to re-preach it, but the clinkers that's in our life that need to be removed so we can have a fire burning in us. Why don't we have a fire burning in us for God? Why don't we? Did you ever ask yourself that? Do you ever stop and ask yourself, why don't I have a fire burning in me for God and God's work? Why don't I have that? Here's what a lot of people say. Well, it's so-and-so's fault. If they'd straighten up, I'd have a fire burning in me. I hear that all the time. No, it's never somebody else's fault. The only reason you don't have a fire burning in you is because of you. You and your relationship with God. Amen? So we need to get off of this backsliding thing. We need to get right with God. We need to do right, you see, so we can have a fire burning in us, you see. So there's the old poverty thing. God will take the finances away from us. Amen? God will dry up the creek after a bit. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? See, Brother Ross, you're trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you. Whether you understand it or not, if you're a backslider, you got problems coming to you. The storms are going to come. You think God's going to leave you there forever in backslidden condition? God's not going to do that. Wake up. Turn to God. Walk with God. I mean, God's not going to leave you there forever. Something's going to happen. He's going to have to get you swallowed up with something. Amen. Somewhere along the line, you see. I think it about... thinking about Ruth, back in the book of Ruth. And Ruth and her husband took his family away down to Moab. He was a man of Bethlehem, man of God's country. And there was a famine in the land. See, just because there's a famine in the land, you don't want to run from God. But he took his family, went down to Moab, and he died down there. His two sons died down there. And finally, Ruth came back, and I just want to read to you what she said when she came back to Bethlehem. Listen to what she said. She says, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. How sad. Said, I want to tell you, I don't have a husband anymore. I don't have any, these two sons that I had. I don't have them anymore. I don't have anything. She couldn't come back and redeem that which she had before she left. She didn't have anything to redeem it with. She didn't have anything. She said, I come back empty. Now, is that what God has to do, is bring you back empty? To get you right with Him? God had to take everything away from you? God had to just put you on your back? Steve Davis was here today. He had to testify. If I'd let him, he'd testify and say, I want to tell you what, God got after me. God woke me up. God's been after that fellow for a good long time. Now he's laying on his bed up there. Brother Jerry, we sent him up yesterday to see him. We'd seen him two times this week, Don and I. And Jerry went up to see him, and he is talking now. He can talk now. He's doing a little better. Wanting to come home. You know how that is, wanting to come home. But what I'm saying is, he's told me that right openly in front of people. No, he said, God shook me. God got a hold of me and shook me, sure. What did he have to do? Lay him on a bed? To fall him out of a tree? Lay him on a bed, a heart operation? Is that what it's worth? Just to get to allow God to wake you up? Now, he's not the only one, folks. There's storms coming. I don't know what storm is. I don't know what God's going to do. But I'm telling you, storm will come if you're God's child. And you continue in a backslidden condition, the storm's going to come. We need to get right with God, you see. We don't want to come back home. We don't want to come back home empty. I want to tell you something. When you're backslidden condition too, I want to tell you something. There's a fear about living. There's no joy in the life. And you can say you got joy, but I'll guarantee you right now, if you're backslidden, you don't have joy. No, there's no joy in your life. There's no joy of being a Christian. There's no joy. You walk around with joy. You may try to fake it. You might try to show forth some happiness on the outside from the face, but there's no joy inside when you're backslidden. No way. So I'm saying to you, don't you want that joy to return? Don't you want, that's what David wanted when he got all out of whack with God, and he asked God to all restore into him the joy of my salvation. I want to tell you something, the joy of salvation is important. We need to have joy in our life, for our salvation. Why don't we have that? Well, there's sin in our life. We're backsliding away from God. And we need to get that joy, back, you see, with the Lord. Not only that, you get to a place where you even start doubting your salvation. Yeah. Oh, sure you do. Sure you do. Don't tell me you don't. I know you do. You get away from God, get all backsliding. You get to doubting your salvation. You get to worrying about whether you're even saved or not. Why? Because there's no joy. No joy there, no assurance of salvation. God's not going to give somebody real assurance that's walking contrary to his word. It ain't going to happen. So you walk around wondering whether you're saved or not. Well, I wonder if I'm really saved or not. Why? What's the matter? Well, you just need to get right with God. You need to get back out of that backslidden condition. You need to get back to the Lord and say, God, I said, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be what you want me to be. And I'll tell you what, God will restore the joy of that salvation. You understand what this preacher's saying? See, is there going to have to be a storm come to wake us up? Storm like Jonah had to face? Well, I just want to share something with you. There's some hope. I want to show you what Jonah found. Now, we're in the second chapter, but I want to show you what Jonah found, where he could find hope. Second chapter of the book of Jonah. In chapter 2, he says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and death closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, and saith with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, unto thy holy temple. I want to tell you what we need to do is remember the Lord. You know, there was hope for Jonah. There he was. Folks, if you read that, he was in a mess. He was in the belly of a whale. I can't imagine that, honestly, when I think about that. He said, weeds was wrapped around my head. He was down in the belly of a whale. And this is horrible. I mean, this is serious. 3 days he was there. Now, I just want you to understand something. But there was still hope. He cried out of the belly of the whale. And there was hope. You know why? Because he remembered God. And he remembered what God had said to him. He remembered the will of God for his life. Folks, listen, it isn't the will of God that you live in a backslidden condition. That's not the will of God. Never has been. The will of God is for you to do what God said to do. God said, go to Nineveh, then get to Nineveh and do what you're supposed to do. I don't think anybody in here, God told them to go to Nineveh, but we ought to be doing what God said to do. We ought to be living that upright Christian life. We ought to be loving God and walking with God. And if we're not there, we ought to cry out to God out of the belly of the whale. You understand what I'm saying? You see, we need to do that, you see. And there's hope for us. Thank God for that. And then what happened is he was crying out in repentance. You see, he wasn't just crying out and saying, oh, God, get me out of this whale. He was saying, oh, God, I'm sorry. See, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for repentance in the backslider. He's looking for someone to say, oh, God, I'm sorry. I've failed you. I've done wrong. God's looking for people to repent and come to him, you see. And for Jonah, there was hope because he called out, you see, in repentance, and not only repentance, in helplessness. He had been brought to the bottom. There was no hope. And folks, does God have to bring us to helplessness? We ought to know we're helpless. We ought to know that. There's no good in us. We no hope without God. Amen. And so Jonah was saying, oh God, I can't do anything. How can I get out of here? Can I fight my way out of here? Can I swim my way out of here? I know he didn't say that, but that's what he was saying. There's no hope for me. But there is hope in God. Because he has a wonderful God that loves him and wanted to help him, you see. So there's a shelter there, you see. Let's read verse number 8. And he says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. You know what he says? He says, I'll start giving thanks. I'll start sacrificing with lips of sacrifice, thanking God for who he is and what he's done for me. See, that's what it all comes. It comes back to praising God and thanking God and also remembering what God told him to do.
Amen.
Yeah, you look at that and he says, and I will pay that I have vowed. He said, I'll do what you told me to do, God. I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to come back to God if you're backslidden today? Are you willing to do that which God's told you to do? Are you willing to do it? You know what? We know what the Bible says, that God allowed that old fish to spit him out of his mouth up on the dry land. I want to tell you, he'll bring you back to the dry land if you just listen to God.
Amen.
Do what he says. Backslidden away from God, listen, that's no place to be. That's a dangerous place. The storm's going to come. Now listen to me, storm's going to come. You can say all you want. You say, it hadn't come yet. I'm doing fine. That's all right. Storm's coming. You keep walking away from God. You're God's child. You keep walking away. I want to tell you, the storm is on its way. Understand what I'm saying? Now listen, don't just think of self. You know, selfishness. Why don't you think about the damage you're doing to those around you by being backslid? So I'm just simply saying today, will you search your heart? Will you just search your heart and say, where am I spiritually? Am I down in the sides of the boat asleep? Not caring what's going on around me? Paying no attention to other people's danger, but I'm just going to sleep there in the sides of the boat asleep. Took a heathen to come and wake him up. Captain of the ship come, woke him, a heathen. Sometimes it's going to take a heathen to shake you and say, what are you doing? You claim to be a Christian? What in the world are you doing down here in the side of the boat asleep? You hear what I'm saying? If you're backslidden away from God, why don't today be the day when you wake up, head back to God? Amen? Wouldn't that be a good thing to do? Just wake up and head back to God. Just let God have his way. Remember what God said in his word. Remember what he said. Remember what he told you to do. What kind of person he told you to be. Get back to God. Amen. And then you notice there in chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And Jonah rose. Say, Brother Ross, why'd you read that? Because Jonah wasn't kidding when he was down there in the whale's belly. No, he wasn't kidding. He meant business.
Amen.
So what did he do? He rose. Rose and went to Nineveh. That's what backsliders have to do, not just talk it.
Right.
They've got to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. There's a shelter to run to. That shelter is God. Loves you oh so much. What he's looking for is for you to come back to God, to do what God's word says to do. You're away from God. You're backslidden. I just want to share. I believe God wanted me to warn this morning. Make any difference who you are. Don't make any difference who any of us is. If we're walking that kind of life, I want to tell you, storm's coming. Storm's coming. You don't want to remain there. You want to get back right with God. Do what he said. Amen. This morning will be a wonderful time to just get right with God. You say, Brother Ross, you know, I'm not even a Christian. I can't get right with God. I'm not even a Christian. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I need to come to Christ, receive Christ as my personal Savior. That's what I need to do. I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't know that. And I want you to pray for me, Brother Ross. I just want you to pray for me. Pastor Ross is not going to call your name out. I won't do that. But I will pray for you. Say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Will you just raise your hand? Say, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm born again. I want you to pray for me. Anyone, please, just raise your hand, please. Just raise your hand. Put it right back down. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Say, Brother Ross, I'm not where I ought to be. I'm on a ship head for Tarsus, away from the will of God. I'm not doing what I should be. I'm backslidden. Brother Ross, will you just pray for me? I'm not where I ought to be. Will you just pray for me? Raise your hand, please. Thank you. Thank you. Someone, just raise your hand. Just say, I'm away from God. I need to come back. I need to come back to God. Raise your hand. Say, I need to come back. Well, it's interesting. No one's not saved. Not only one person needs to come back to God this morning. That's interesting. It's amazing. One person needs to go. Anyone else? Would say, Brother Ross, I realize I need to come back to God. I need to do right. Raise your hand, please. I just need to do right. Father, thank you so much today for your kindness and your grace. Thank you, Father, for that sweet person who just raised their hand and said, I need to come back to God. I need to do right. Thank you for them. Bless them real good. Encourage their hearts. Help them to do right. Now, Father, I pray for if there's anyone in here that is unsaved. Lord, if they didn't raise their hand, that's okay. But God, I pray you'll deal with them, work with them this morning. Bring them to yourself. Save their soul. And then, Father, if there's any folk here that just need to return to you and get things right with you, I pray, God, for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to be upon them. And they'd be willing, Lord, finally like Jonah down there in the belly of the whale, to cry out to you and say, God, I need you. I just pray for your will to be done in Jesus' name. Amen.